Good evening. So I said this morning that this morning's topic was a little lighter. This evening's topic is going to be a little bit of heavy of a topic. I do believe that it is a timely topic, especially with the movement, the LGBTQ movement that is happening right now, and how Christians respond to this movement, how we respond to the individuals, is very, very important. And we'll go over that here in a few moments. We're going to take about the first 10 minutes. We're going to talk about four things concerning the LGBTQ plus movement. And the first one is going to go back to the APA in 1974. Now, the very first time I did a PowerPoint thing at a smaller congregation like this, my wife said, "Scott, you can't stand in front of it because you'll block the whole screen." So I'm going to go back and forth because I'm going to have to read a couple quotes, but I'm going to try to stay off to the side to do most of the sermon this evening. So the APA is the American Psychiatric Association, And up until 1974, homosexuality, and that's the way I'll just quantify it tonight, instead of saying LGBTQI plus or anything else, just say the homosexual, up until 1974, was considered a mental illness. Okay, so if you look at their booklet of everything that they had listed in their book, homosexuality was listed in there as a mental illness. Then in 1971 in San Francisco, you know, that was after the 1960s. I don't know what all happened in the 1960s. I was not alive, but I will not guess anybody's age in here, but I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all were alive during that time and know about the free love movement that happened. Well, that's when the big push started then for the homosexuality community. So in 1971, in San Francisco, when the APA was having their yearly meeting, the homosexuality community then started to protest out in front of their big meeting every year. So that's when it started, was in 1971. So then the community, homosexual community, did it again in 1972. And then finally in 1973, the APA then decided to remove homosexuality from their booklet of mental diseases. Okay? Now, how did they remove it? They removed it with a vote, 13-0. So the question is, did they have any more scientific data that was brought forward to say, hey, this is not a mental illness? No, they didn't. Okay? So that tells us right there that them removing it was not based on anything scientific at all. It was solely a political move then in 1973. So when the book came out then in 1974, homosexuality was removed from the booklet. If they can take a vote to take something out, then they can take a vote to put something in. And there is a small push right now within some of the science community to put that those that believe in God as a mental illness. There is a small push. So again, I'm not saying it is going to happen, but there is that idea out there. So if they can vote to take something out, then they can vote to put something in. So basically, 1974, that's when that idea started about removing homosexuality as a mental illness. Then in the 21st century, it has turned into what the community, the homosexual community call, they are calling the civil rights movement of the 21st century. The civil rights movement of the 21st century. So their thoughts behind that, just like somebody can't help their skin color, somebody can't help it with their brown, black, yellow, whatever color, right? Somebody can't help that. Someone can't help whether they are a male or a female. Somebody can't help their genetic lineage of their history, whether they're Asian or American or Russian. Now they're saying, okay, that homosexuality deserves and to be in that same category as the civil rights movements that were happening then in the 60s and 70s. Okay, and that is actually, as we all know, has gained great ground here in the last 10 to 15 years. But What has not been brought forward is there is a drastic difference between your skin color and homosexuality. Your skin color, you cannot choose. That's what you're born with. So then they try to say, well, I was born that way. We'll get to that point here in a second. Well, I was born that way. Okay? Well, we're not talking about what you were born. We are talking about actions. Homosexuality is an action. And that is what separates the civil rights movements of the 60s and 70s, which should have been happening, compared to the what they're saying is the civil rights movement of the 21st century. Okay? It's their actions that separate them apart. Okay? If we lined up, you know, 10 random people in here, we could tell that who is a male and who is a female. Okay? We could tell where their origin is from, right? But if we stood up somebody up here that was a homosexual, we would not be able to tell the difference. Okay? It's because their actions is what separates them. So it is actually not part of anything of civil rights, because we're talking about actions. And the third major thing, and again, we'll kind of hit these as we go throughout the biblical take here in a few moments. The third one is nature versus nurture. Nature versus nurture. What this is talking about is your genetics. So that's the nature part. You can't help your eye color. Your genetic code tells you your eye color is going to be brown. Now, we can put some cool contacts in and make your eyes yellow if you want, right? And there's even now, this is kind of crazy, but you can get your eyes tattooed. And I don't, that's, yeah. Okay, but your genetic code still says your eye color is going to be brown or blue. That is the nature. So there's the genetic code that then determines some physical characteristics about who you are. The nurture part is about how you're raised or some things that happen while you are growing up. And that is the battle right now within science and the homosexuality community, is nature versus nurture. And I'm going to read a quote here. And this one is going to be, again, from the American College of Pediatrics. Okay, so we got another viable group, another group that it's has a lot of legitimacy. And this is what they said. The environment in which children are reared is absolutely critical to their development. Okay, great. That's exactly what the Bible says, right? That's exactly what the Bible says concerning how children are raised and then what happens to them. Given the current body of research, so this is scientific evidence that they are presenting, the American College of Pediatrics believes it is inappropriate, potentially hazardous to children, and dangerously irresponsible to change the age-old prohibition of homosexual parenting, whether by adoption, foster care, or reproductive manipulation. The position is rooted in the best available science. So the American College of Pediatricians is in agreement with the Bible here, okay? And it's not that they're taking the Bible and making their stance. They have taken scientific evidence and said, if we try to raise children outside of the norm as having a mother and a father, it is going to be detrimental to the child. And they have science to back up their points. Again, that's the American College of Pediatricians, okay? Backing exactly what Christians have been saying for years. They go on to say, there is sound evidence that children exposed to homosexual lifestyle may be at risk for emotional, mental, and even physical harm. You can't get any more plain than that. Again, the American College of Pediatricians. So then, of course, the homosexual community did not like this at all. Did not like, there was a whole report. I only read some small bits about it. And when I was reading, there was many groups that had a problem with this, including the Southern Poverty Law Center. If you know about them, they're a way, way left group. But this is what they said. The American College of Pediatricians is a fringe anti-LGBTQ hate group that masquerades as the premier U.S. Association of Pediatricians to push anti-LGBTQ junk science, primarily via far-right conservative media, filing amicus briefs in cases related to gay adoption and marriage equality. Okay? And that's what they said. Did they bring anything to the table and say, Here is where their science is wrong. No, they didn't. Did they bring any science to the table and said, here's what research is now showing about children being raised in this environment? No, they didn't. All they did was immediately attack that community, that association, because of what they said. Okay, but again, nature versus nurture, all the science is absolutely pointing to it is harmful. But also, it goes much deeper than that. With our modern technology, we have been able to sequence our entire genetic code. Okay, we have 23 sets of chromosomes in every single one of our cells, and it took years, and it took supercomputers years to break down every single thing that our DNA is telling us, including the X and Y chromosome. That's that 23rd pair. That's the one that determines if we are male or female. They have determined that the X chromosome contains 153 million base pairs. That's a lot of base pairs, 153 million. It has over 1,100 genes. The Y chromosome, it's a little bit smaller. It has only 50 million genes. Sorry, only 50 million base pairs and only 251 genes. So it took years. But as this data was coming in, they have mapped every single part of our genetic code, and not a single gene, not a single base pair pointed towards what they had labeled as a gay gene. So nature versus nurture, without a doubt, they are not born that way. There is nothing in the genetic code that says this is the way you are born. That's not me and my opinion. That's not what necessarily, well, obviously we know that's what the Bible says, right? But this is what the science is saying. There is no gay gene. Again, that's the Human Genome Project. But also beyond that, there have been twin study after twin study after twin study, both identical twins and fraternal twins. Okay, if it is genetic, then if you have twins and one is a homosexual, then if they are born that way, then the other one has to be. Okay, but 20, 30 twin studies at least have all pointed to saying, no, there is not a genetic connection between the two. Okay, the fourth and final point is of course, politics and major businesses. Politics and major businesses. And I'm just going to hit a little bit on the major businesses idea here. We all know that companies are all pushing for, like IBM is pushing for equality within their businesses. Google, you might have seen some stuff here lately. We will only do business with people who have the same type of mentalities that you have to accept the homosexual community. That's their thought they're taking. It's their private business. They want to do that, that's fine. But they're not being consistent with it at all. That's their viewpoint here in America because that's the political idea now in America. But they are still in support and they still go to countries, okay, where if somebody is a homosexuality, they're going to be thrown off a roof, okay? Well, why aren't these private businesses then in those countries saying or doing anything about it there, okay? They're not being consistent. Yes, I saw money in the background. That is absolutely what it's about. That's absolutely what it is about. Okay, so politics and major businesses themselves are not being consistent with the idea with what they are supporting then outside of America. Okay, so that was a quick little run through about where we are and where we've been with the homosexual, the LGBTQI movement. So if we want to talk to somebody, whether they are homosexual or whether they support that community, here's a little process that we can go through. So the first step is we can ask them, is we have to ask them, is do they believe in objective truth? Do they believe in objective truth? And I'm going to give you a quick definition. It is an objective statement. It is factual. It has a definite correspondence to reality independent of anyone's feelings or biases. Okay, so that's where we got to start the conversation. Is there an objective truth? Okay, is the earth flat or is the earth round? Okay, we know without a doubt, don't smile back there, I mean, we know without a doubt that the earth is round. Okay, that is an objective truth. And if they can't accept objective truths, then there's really no reason, or be very, 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 very difficult to go beyond this idea. So with an objective truth, I can say that I own a 1968 Camaro. No, I don't. I've eyeballed some late model or early model Camaros, but nobody wanted to sell it to me. I'm not saying anything or pointing anybody. I can say I own a 1968 Camaro. Okay, that's either true or it's false. If I do own a 1968 Camaro, then it's true. If I don't own a 1968 Camaro, then it is false. That is an objective truth. A subjective truth, or subjective then, would be 1968 Camaros are the coolest car ever made. Okay? That is subjective. Now, I can say it's the coolest car, but there's no way to quantify that as it is the coolest car. Because I can say it's the coolest car, but somebody else can say, well, no, I think blank car is the coolest car. We used to call those opinions, okay? But now they are creeping away from that opinion, and I'm going to quote them. They are calling this, it is my truth. It is my truth. Well, if somebody is coming out with, it is my truth, which what we used to call opinions, then they have no objective truth. And it would be very, very difficult then to have a conversation with them about the homosexuality idea. Okay? So do they believe in objective truth? If they don't, then it might be best just to stop there. But again, it'd be very, very difficult. So if they say yes, they do believe in objective truth, then do you believe in the Bible? Okay? There's only two answers to this one. It's either yes or no. So let's say no, they don't believe in the Bible. Then we got two things that we can take from there. If they don't believe in the Bible, then it's going to be very, very difficult to bring the Bible to them and go, hey, the Bible says homosexuality is wrong. Right? I went to a debate down in Columbia between a member of the church, Kyle Butts, and an atheist, an evolutionist. And Kyle Butts at some points was trying to bring the Bible in to prove his point, okay? But the atheist didn't believe in the Bible, right? So it's very difficult to bring the Bible in. But just like we've already pointed out, science is already on the Bible side. So two things. So if they don't believe in the Bible, then A, there is no absolute truth. So since there is no absolute truth, you can't tell me that I'm wrong. There's no absolute truth. Then you can't tell me that I'm wrong. When I say that homosexuality is sinful, homosexuality is wrong, since there is no absolute truth, you can't tell me that I'm wrong. Okay, World War II, we know that Hitler was an evil man, and he killed millions and millions and millions of Jews. And we know Stalin did something similar, and China's done similar stuff. But if there is no absolute truth, then there is no way they can tell me what Hitler did was wrong, if there's no absolute truth. Okay. And in fact, during the Nuremberg trials, where they were trying to the Germans and the Nazis for what happened, they couldn't bring them to a world trial because it was Germany's laws versus other countries' laws. So in the Nuremberg trials, they had to appeal to a higher power to make their decisions, okay? Even the Nuremberg trials, they realized they had to appeal to a higher power. So A, there is no absolute truth, and B, back to science, evolutionary advantage, okay? Does homosexuality provide any evolutionary advantage? Now, I'm going to mention a guy's name. I can never remember his name. But his name is Antonio Alfonseca. Does anybody remember his name? I can't remember. He's a Major League Baseball player. Okay? He had six fingers. Okay? And he was a pitcher. So that gave him an advantage on the mound, because with six fingers, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff with that baseball that somebody with five fingers can't do. Okay? In fact, there's a 9-year-old out there right now, pitcher, who has fixed six fingers, and Major League Baseball is already after him, and he's only like 9 years old. Okay, but you can do crazy things with the baseball when you have six fingers. Now, did that give him an advantage to play baseball better? Absolutely. But did that sixth finger give him an evolutionary advantage then to pass on his genes to the next generation? No, it didn't. When we talk about evolution, it's about survival of the fittest and having those genes that give you a better chance then to pass on your genes then to the next generation. Well, what evolutionary advantage is there if somebody is a homosexual? There isn't. Because in a homosexual relationship, there is no way then to pass on your genes to the next generation. Okay? So science itself clearly states, okay, that homosexuality, it provides no evolutionary advantage. So if they don't believe in the Bible, here's two quick points we can bring up to prove that, hey, science isn't on your side either. So now, what happens if they do believe in the Bible? They do believe in the Bible. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. This is a list you must probably have read before. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even the woman exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased minds to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now, I'm not saying this is the complete list of all the sins that's mentioned in the Bible, but if you had a good starting point, this would be a great starting point for us to come up with a list of some things that are sinful in the Bible. But, you know, along with this LGBTQI movement, you might have heard it's called the woke movement. Like those that are woke, right? They're not. The ideas are not new. Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun. All they do is every 20 to 30 years, they repackage it into a different box. They put some new labels on it, and then they ship it back out and go, hey, look at our ideas. But they're not. We can pick up on a few things here in a couple of these scriptures. Futile in their thoughts, professing to be wise, change the truth for a lie. Then verse 30, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. So this idea that they're promoting now is nothing new under the sun. The Bible talks about it here in Romans chapter 1. But also we can go to the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus chapter 18. We're going to read verses 22 through 24. Leviticus chapter 18, we're going to read verses 22 through 24. Leviticus 18, starting in verse 22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these things the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. Several years ago, I got into a Facebook discussion when the Supreme Court was then taking upon the case about homosexual marriage. I got into a Facebook discussion with an individual. It was actually a good discussion. A lot of times those discussions go very quickly down. There's name calling, but it was actually a very cordial discussion back and forth. And I said then, when the marriage thing happened, when the Supreme Court said homosexual marriage is allowed, I said, well, now anything is going to be allowed. It's going to be opened up to anything, okay? And the person that I was having the discussion with said, didn't call me an idiot, but said, Scott, let's be real. We're just talking about two consenting adults, okay? Well, it's definitely gone beyond that now, okay? It's gone beyond just homosexual marriage. Now, okay, there is a push for if a human being wants to marry an animal, then why not, okay? Yeah, I'm hearing some laughing, but it is absolutely true. That is where the push is going, okay? And they're even marrying inanimate objects now as well, okay? They're marrying inanimate objects. So if you wanted to marry your car, then you can marry your car if you wanted to. But on a little bit more serious of a note, it's going even to what I would call even to some sicker ideas to with pedophilia. Okay, there is a push now for the acceptance of pedophilia. And I'm not talking about it's wide or it's, but there is a push. If you've ever watched something called TED Talks, where somebody has to stand in this little circle and they get like 3 minutes to say some ideas about what they would like to see happen, and the idea about pedophilia is gaining ground. So once they opened up and they can redefine what marriage is, then anything is on the table. Anything is on the table. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. So let's see some more ideas about what the New Testament has to say about homosexuality. So this is somebody that believes in the Bible. So now we're bringing Scripture forth to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So we had a pretty lengthy list earlier. Now we can add some more things to our list. But including that is the idea about homosexuals nor sodomites. Now, a lot of times when we talk about things with the homosexual community and marriage, we have to go back to the original Greek or Hebrew to get a better understanding. We're not going to do that tonight. But when that word here for homosexuals is used, the King James Version uses the word effeminate. And that's talking about having feminine qualities untypical, having male qualities untypical, wait, what does it say? Hold on. Having feminine qualities untypical of a man, okay? So we know some qualities that a man portrays that define what a man is, okay? We know there's a big push now to remove those masculine qualities and to make men more effeminate, okay? Well, the Bible here clearly states that should not be allowed. And then the sodomites, that is talking about one who lies with a man as with a female. So we got two big points there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. verses 2 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife with the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except for consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Well, here we know that Paul is an inspired writer, okay, inspired by God to write this. You'll see why I'm hitting that point here in a second. That Paul here defines what marriage should be. It should be between a male and a female. So there are plenty of other scriptures that we could use for our point here on our flow chart, but here are four good ones that you can start with. So I've had some conversations both with some homosexuals over the years, as well as those who support homosexuals. And here are some things that have been said to me over the years when I've been having some conversations with them. And one that has been told to me before was, but Jesus never spoke against homosexuality. You might have heard that one yourself. Jesus never spoke against homosexuality. Here are four scriptures that Jesus spoke. Okay, Matthew chapter 19, the sin of adultery. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, sexual immorality. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, fornication. And then Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, Jesus then defines what marriage is. Now, he might not come out and said homosexuality is a sin, but when we talk about adultery, sexual immorality, and fornication, homosexuality is part of that, of those definitions. Again, we're not going to get into the specifics of each of those words, but Jesus might not have come out and said homosexuality is a sin, but he did say adultery is a sin. He did say sexual immorality is a sin. He did say fornication is a sin. And then he defined what marriage was. Since he defined marriage as between a man and a woman, anything outside of that then would be sinful, including then homosexuality. But I'm not a homosexual. I just support them. Believe it or not, yeah, sometimes it's very difficult for us to realize this, but the idea of homosexuality is creeping into the church, okay? And it's not necessarily just about I'm not a homosexual, right? But I'm still going to support those who are, okay? Go back to Romans chapter 1, and I stopped there earlier because I didn't want to give away this point. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. So we read that big, long list, and it went into great detail, starting there in verse 26 through 28 concerning homosexuality. Verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The Bible makes it very, very clear, okay? We cannot be a homosexual as a Christian, and we cannot support those whose decision it is to practice homosexuality. Now, I'll come back to a point here in a second, because that's not quite the end of it, right? But we cannot support them and the decisions that they have made to become a homosexual, because we know it's not in their genes. It is a decision. It is their actions that the Bible and that we have a problem with. Back to a little bit about, but I have always been this way. I have always been this way. And go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. But I've always been this way. Now, we know that genetically, science tells us they have not always been this way. There is no such thing as a gay gene, right? There was a time when when I thought girls had had cooties, right? No, how? No, you're not going to, you know, all the boys on the playground are over there. All the girls on the playground are over there, right? There was a time girls had cooties. Then about 13, right? Girls stopped having cooties all of a sudden, right? So there wasn't always been a way where I thought females were attractive, right? Because at one point, girls had cooties. And the boys, right, we separate ourselves on the playground, okay? So at some point then, okay, something changes, right? You have not always been that way, even from a heterosexual standpoint, because at one point, again, girls had cooties. But it doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Again, we read the list specifically there about homosexuals, about those who are effeminate males, sodomites, those who are lying with males with a female. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Now think about where the church of Corinth was. The church of Corinth, right, was in the country of Greece. And we all know what Greece was about, right? Think about all the gods and goddesses that was around in around that time, right? And Corinth, the city of Corinth, was known for sexual promiscuity of all types, okay? Of all types. Paul knew that. Paul spent a lot of his letters to the church of Corinth correcting them for either practicing it or accepting the idea of these sexual promiscuities, okay? But again, verse 11 says, and such were some of you. There is a push within the LGBTQ community that they've always been this way. Well, we know that's not true. But don't you dare try to change them. And they're trying to limit, okay, even things like churches from trying to convince people and to turn them from their choices that they have made to be a practicing homosexual. But the Bible tells us here clearly that somebody can change, okay? Because we're not talking about changing the genetic code of the color of their eyes. We're talking about changing their actions, changing their actions. So that was 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. So I hope this evening has been a beneficial topic for us as we try to come to front with this LGBTQ movement. But we have to keep in mind, and this is the most important part of the lesson this evening, is that all of these individuals have a soul. And according to Scripture, they will not be spending eternity in heaven, but they will be spending eternity in hell. And that we do have a spiritual obligation to try and to talk to them about the choices, about the lifestyle that they have chosen. Then it is up to them to reject or to accept what the Scripture has. But we still have a spiritual obligation because they do have a soul. Jesus died on the cross for you and me, and Jesus died on the cross for them as well. But don't forget, we can read back in 1 Corinthians, and we can read back in Romans, okay? It is filled with far more than just homosexual ideas. Also written, there are topics that we often fall short in our walk with Christ as well. Are there any sins that were mentioned tonight in those scriptures that you are struggling with? Are there any sins that we didn't go over tonight that are inhibiting you from walking properly with God? Are you letting those sins in your life control you? If there are, then make it right. And what's great about the Bible doesn't say that you have to come forward to repent of your sins. The Bible makes it clear that you can repent right now. You can go to God in prayer, okay, and talk to God and say, hey, God, I'm sorry for about the sin in my life. Please give me the strength and the courage to overcome this. But also the congregation is here for you tonight. That if you need the prayers and the support of the congregation, we can help you this time as we stand and as we sing.
Would you live? live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you need never fall? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you in his kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true each providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee.
Thank you, Scott, for those words this evening. The Lord's table is prepared for those that have not had the opportunity to partake this evening. If you would come down to the front at this time, you'll be served at this time.
Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus who went and hung up on that cross for each and every one of us. We pray as this one partakes this, the bread that represents the body that was hung there, we'll do so in a manner that's pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, the fruit of the vine, which represents the shed blood that was shed upon that cross for each and every one of us for the remission of our sins. We pray as this one partakes of this, we'll do so in a manner that's pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Basket could be left up on the table for anyone who didn't have an opportunity to give this morning. Will you please bow with me? Our kind Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for each and everything that we have, our homes, our families, our jobs, the church here. We thank you for this opportunity that we have that we give back a portion of you that you've bountifully blessed each and every one of us with. We pray as the ones give back tonight, we'll give back in a manner that's pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Are there any other announcements before we end our worship? You will stand with me, and we want to thank Scott for being here with us today. We really appreciate you coming out and being helping us out today. Really do. We'll now have our closing prayer.
Our most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the many blessings that you have given unto each and every one of us here tonight. We're thankful for the opportunity that you've given us that we can come here that we could sing songs of praises unto thee. We're thankful for Scott, for the message that he has brought to us this morning and tonight. We pray that we will take these things, apply them to our lives, that we will teach others about them. We pray that you would be with our shut-ins, the ones that are sick. We pray that you would be with the people overseeing them, that they may return to their health. We pray also for the ones that have lost their loved ones this past week, that you would be with their family. We pray that you would be with the ones that are traveling, that they may have a safe journey to and from their destination. We pray that you would always watch over us, that you would guide, guard, and direct us throughout our lives, and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Have his way with thee.
Right? Yeah, 1630 plus that. Is that right?
Yeah, that'd be right.
1630 plus that. 2050. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Need to order a new one of them.
Yeah.
But you know what?
They're not complaining. Are they depositing for you?
Yeah. But like when you mash it right here on the table, when Ray does it right here on this, it's when it don't show up. Get over here, it does. But
was that cash right? Yeah. Did you count it? 360? Oh, you ain't counted yet.
I'm worried. That was me. We'll see, though.